Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hello, I am Dr. Paul Miller, and we are definitely in a great spot today to talk about the good me and the hood me. So I want everybody out there in this leadership land to think about when you have your good conscience and you have your bad conscience. And so when that good angel sitting on your shoulder, it's constantly talking to you. And we also have that bad angel that sits on our shoulder and that is talking to us as well. But every journey and every decision that we take is based on our decision, is based on our overall thought process and our past, and our potential is all defined by the choices that you're going to make as the leader. But often these paths, they're at a crossroad with each other, where you're one step away from making a good or bad decision. And it depends on who do you want to be as a person. And so as a leader, I've always been able to professionally succeed. I've been able to accomplish quite a bit as a leader. I've been able to, I was the CEO of a school where we had 97% Black and brown young men in over 90% poverty, but we averaged a 95% graduation rate, 100% acceptance to college, over $25 million a year in scholarship money for our kids. Been able to create organizations and systems that work professionally, but personally, I've always went through some challenges and I've had to work on that. So personally, I've had to become a better person so I could be a better leader, because often there's duality. So there's the professional me and then there's the personal me. And there's those integrations where often on your professional, you have evidence-based decision-making, you have technical expertise, strategic thinking, focused on outcome. Your personal you is usually more about your emotional intelligence. Are you street smart? Are you able to make decisions with your problem-solving abilities? Resilience is born from your struggles, but that integration, when that rubber meets the road and you're being your authentic self, you become the best leader possible, but often is guided by your decision-making, by either the good you or the hood you. And we're going to talk about that today. Every decision you make as a leader should be guided by your values, your personal values, your professional values, and they often have ripple effects. But in those personal values, how many times as a leader have we hidden exactly who we are in front of our staff or in front of the people that we work with? Or are we not showing them every piece of ourselves? And are we actually leading and guiding with the values that we say we want our people to have in order to create a common mission and vision so we can be the best professional leaders that are out there? But those ripple effects that happen are those battles that are happening between the good you and the hood you that you have every day. And see, with the good me, and that's that angel sitting over my right shoulder, right? There's potential for greatness. I was told when I was little that I would be really, really good, or I would be really, really bad. And what does that mean, right? So really, really good meant I was born to do and destined to do God's will and a capacity of success and being able to flourish. Or was I going to go down a destructive path and be really, really bad? And that really, really bad path was going to be filled with wrong choices. And so that was almost professed to me as a youth. And there were some times where I had to make some critical decisions that determined my character. The choices that I made was who I was going to become. And was I going to live in that good me or that hood me? Because often what happens is as adults, even as youth, we turn the good voice up and we turn the hood and we turn the hood voice down as we're growing and maturing. But how many times have we done it the opposite, where we've listened to that hood voice and we've turned that good voice down? And when that good voice is down, it starts to whisper and speak really low, and you start to hear the bad voice louder and louder, and you make some really probably poor decisions. We all have those. until we work on ourselves, till we work on clearing out our gutters, till we work on healing. And see, it's a deep belief that God has a whiteboard for all of us. So imagine this imaginary whiteboard that has two sides to it. And on one side, it is going to be completely filled out, and the other side is going to be clear. And on this one side that's filled out, it usually starts with some categories. It's your origins, like who were you born to? Who are your parents? Your early challenges, what are you going to go through as you're growing up? Your growth, how are you going to grow through it? How are you going to make the decision making? And then what's your legacy? But on that side that's filled out, God already knows. God distinctively knows who you are and who you're meant to be. And on that side, for me, that whiteboard was a long and depth story. And that long and depth story was I was a kid who grew up to a single parent and single parent household. The single parent household, I had a mother who was often depressed, who was down, who was depressed and had her own emotional challenges to the point where she would lock herself in a room. And she would lock herself in a room to try to help cope with what she was going through and dealing with the depression. And often it was because she was lonely and she wanted my stepfather around. And when my stepfather wasn't around, she would lock herself in a room. And then when he was around, she would lock herself in a room. But God knew all of that was going to happen to me. Also, God knew that my stepfather was going to be addicted to crack cocaine, that he was addicted to drugs. And that was going to be part of my lessons that I was going to go through. And it was on this whiteboard and I was going to have to go through it. And all of those things were going to help shape me and make me who I was. There were even from the little incidents of falling, scraping or busting open my head, God knew that those steps were going to happen. And how was I going to adjust or not adjust and learn from it? So I grew up in a place where there in the projects in Rochester, New York, one of the third poorest cities in the country. We also were so poor that we often had to take bottles back for toilet paper. We were dealing with a stepfather would steal our stuff and go sell it, where we'd have to go get it back from the neighbors. My mom depressed, locked us in the room, and I was often left alone. I was left alone and lonely, and being alone and lonely often created trauma. And I had to figure out what I was going to do and who I was going to be. But I had high school. I had some transformational experiences. I played high school football. I played Division I football. But I knew I wanted to be an educator when the football career was done. And I became an educator. I received a doctorate. I've been a leader. I got 6 books, getting ready to work on a 7th, touching multiple schools and multiple lives in the process of opening schools and creating a legacy where I can hopefully change communities. God knew that all these things were going to be on this whiteboard, but a lot of it came to my free will, because on the other side of the whiteboard is completely blank. It's a clean slate. On this clean slate, imagine a pristine, clean whiteboard where my story hasn't been written yet. And this is the side of free will and choice. It's like a baby is born with a free slate. Even though God has a plan for us and he knows exactly what's going to happen, he knows exactly what he wants us to do, he knows exactly how we're going to navigate it. And as we navigate it, we're meant to become the people that he wants us to do and become if we follow his will and live in his divine purpose. However, we have a freedom of choice. We have a freedom to choose. And often that's our free will. And it's shaped by some factors like our decision making. It's shaped by your parental guidance. Often the examples that we see, we know right from wrong, but we often follow what we see and not always what we know. And so our parents can have a big factor on our shaping. Our moral compass develops, but also we have the ability to hear and listen to God's voice. And are you listening? Are you going to take that guidance and make the right decision? But how many times did we not make that right decision and listen to that hood me voice that was sitting on our shoulders, and we had to turn that hood me voice down and listen to the good me voice to make sure that we were living in what God's plan was for us. But see, what God wants, he often has alignment. And when that alignment comes from listening and the harmony of it, you develop a real order in footsteps. And that order of footsteps, though, isn't always as simple as you would like it to be, because I think about it, compare it to choose your own adventure books. Your own adventure books are often, those were the books with the alternate endings. You think about it, I remember when I was about fourth grade, and those books with the alternate endings would happen, and you'd be reading, and if you skip, you're at page 24, and if you skip to page 35, your ending's going to go this way. If you skip to page 37, it's going to go this way. And so you have a choice, and either choice has come, it comes with consequences. And you have the ability to make these choices and make decisions based off of those choices and those alternative endings. And the more you align and follow the path, the more it's going to be in line with what God wants, and your choices are going to get you to the outcomes that you're looking for. Now, what does that have to do with leadership? Everything. Because if you're authentically being yourself and making the right choices and you're working on yourself and you're healing, you're going to be a better leader. Like I often felt as a leader that I was doing an excellent job. I would get all the success, but I knew I was missing some pieces. I knew I was missing communication. And why wasn't I communicating? And it was often because of the circumstances and the trauma that I had went through, even in my marriage that I was going through. And I often would do exercises with my staff where we would see if we were talking about our values, talking about communication. And I would thought I was doing a great job. Then I would go home and I'd try the exercise with my ex-wife. And it would come up that I didn't like to communicate. But I had to figure out why. I had to figure out why I didn't like to communicate. It was because I didn't like to communicate with her. I didn't like to communicate with her because she reminded me of the trauma that I had been through. She reminded me of the trauma that I was going through. She put me through trauma, even though I also put her through trauma, because hurt people hurt people. And you're going to hear me say that again. And I had to heal. And those were even also some of the poor choices that I made. But even growing up, those choices affect you, because as a leader, as I was an adult, I was still making choices that was hurting people and affecting people. And I still wasn't always listening to the good me, even though I've had opportunity and I know right from wrong. And as I was growing up, it was even different, because I explained some of the adverse circumstances that I went through, and there was choices that I had to make. And there was times where I could have went either way, and God was waiting to see what I was going to do, and I was being tested because he knew what was on the whiteboard for me. I remember one time I'm riding down the street in Rochester, New York, and I had a pack of illegal substance on me, and all of a sudden I'm driving down the street, and what do I hear? I go poof, and I hear a tire burst. And when I hear that tire burst, I said, oh shoot. Right. And I get out of the car. And when I get out of the car, I see I got a flat tire. Now, mind you, I got more than enough on me of substances that could land me in jail for a very, very long time. And so when I look at the tire and I'm walking to it, and I'm not very handy, but I know how to change a tire, I hear God speaking to me and hear God say that this is enough. You need to stop this. This is your warning, because with before destruction comes warning. And he was giving me a warning, telling me that this wasn't the plan for me, that he didn't want me to be doing it, that he allowed me to experience it, but this isn't what he wanted for me, and that I needed to move differently, or next time it was going to be something different. So I had to hear that voice, and I had to make choice by choice. I had to listen to that, and I intimately listened and made choices so I could become the educator that I was meant to be and do all the things that I'm doing to help try to change and solve communities and help leaders and work all over this country and share my work as an author. I wouldn't be able to do that the same way had I been locked up and I continued listening to that bad voice making the wrong choices. See, God wants us to make decisions based on what he wants, but he also wants what we want. So when we listen, we align, and we follow, we often come to a space and place where we're moving in God's path, but we're going to have challenges along the way, because life is like a video game. And so life is like a video game where everybody remembers Mario Brothers. There's probably not too many people across the world that haven't played Super Mario Brothers at some point in time. And what I can distinctively remember from that is that when you're practicing and you're moving through the boards, you often in the beginning stages, or when you haven't played in a while, you're often going to die quite frequently because you're rusty and you don't know what you're doing. But as you start picking up the purpose, the ritual, the routine, as you start moving and practicing, and developing the skills, you get better at it. Now, what's also interesting is as you get better at it, it also gets a little bit harder. Each board gets a little bit harder, but as your skills improve, you get better at it. You're able to conquer each board until you meet your end goal and the purpose is revealed, which is to save the princess. In this case, you get to the end and the bigger story unfolds and you're able to progress and move through, but it's not without struggles, not without some triumphs, but it's not without hitting the reset button and restarting it and forming new habits, new rituals and routines, because life is like a video game. And so that is what's happening, even as I'm wanting to develop. I'm wanting to develop as a leader. I'm wanting to develop as a man. I'm still making mistakes. I'm still hurt. I'm still going through my trauma, but I have to start to figure out, how do I help myself heal? What do I need? And I learned how to heal by coming in touch with my superpower. And so my superpower that I got isn't what I wanted, right? We all have superpower. You have a superpower in you. My superpower was different than what I thought it was going to be. If you asked me what I thought it was going to be, I was going to play in the NFL. I was going to play in the league. I was going to be this amazing football player. But that wasn't the power that God really was giving me. That wasn't what he wanted. I was good. I wasn't great. I was going to play. And when I did, I felt amazing. However, that wasn't what he wanted from me. But I started to learn through a game. And I used some initials. It's called S-M-U-B-M-U. Shoot them up, bust them up. And has there anybody who ever played shoot them up, bust them up as a kid? And you're like, oh, what does that mean? You know? And so it was this game where we used to throw the ball up real high and catch it. And whoever caught it, let's say there was 10 people, all of the 9 people would try to kill the person with the ball. And so I was really good, though. I was so good. I was able to go over, around, under, through. I was able to do things that a lot of other people weren't in this game, and I would get to the other side. I would take a deep breath, and then I had to run all the way to the opposite end of the field and do it again and do it as many times as I could. And even when they got me down and everybody piled on, I was able to often get the ball back and succeed and do it over and over and over again. And I thought those were, hey, these are my powers. I'm getting ready. I'm going to be able to do this. And I'm going to do this as a career. I'm going to do this to save my life, to save other people's life. I'm going to be a football player. And that wasn't the power that God gave me. That wasn't what he wanted for me. The power that God gave me was actually perseverance. That's my superpower. And my superpower has been able to go over, around, under, and through. When other people can't, I have been able to. And that has been my superpower. Now I need to use my superpower for good, to help myself, but to help others to persevere, and persevere enough to persevere and turn that bad voice down and hear the good voice more. But as I've progressed in life, it hasn't always been perfect. There was times I turned that voice off. Like I shared in my marriage, I would often turn that voice off because I married somebody initially in my first marriage. That was often very much like my mother and what I went through. And I saw the trauma in her that was comforting the trauma in me. And that equaled two people with a lot of trauma. And we just did not do what we needed to do or listen to that good voice. But there was a lot of lessons in that. And I love her for those lessons, right? But I needed to work on and heal myself, because hurt people hurt people. And when your gutter is clogged, and mind you, when your gutter is clogged on your house and the water can't run freely, what it does is it messes up your roof. It'll damage your gutters. It's going to damage the outside of your house, and it may even damage the interior of your house as well. But when you can unclog that gutter and start to heal, what happens is the water starts to run freely. And that's what I had to do, is start working on myself and start moving, letting the water move freely so I could heal. And it started with believing in and understanding what God's superpower was for me. And part of that was unpacking what was in the boxes. So often as a Black male and as a leader, I never thought it was safe to be able to discuss all of these things. So I would pack it away. I put it in a box and I wouldn't listen to God's voice. I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't working on the healing, and I coped by putting it away. But it was time to start unpacking it, time to start working on it, time to start unclogging that gutter so I could be the good me that I needed to be. And I had to turn around that negative self-talk. I had to turn around all that hurt and pain that I had been through, that I felt inept about, and make and turn my excuses into my reasons, but use that superpower to do so. So as I turned up the volume and I listened to the good voice, I unpacked the boxes, I connected, I've recognized, I've healed, follow God's plan, not my own. I started to align, and I saw how that also helped me to become successful, and successful as a leader. And as I was identifying that superpower and starting to use it, and once I figured out what it was, I had to use it to heal. My favorite superhero, I love superheroes, y'all, was Wolverine. And so Wolverine was one of the toughest superheroes there, because he would always heal himself quicker than somebody else, and he would be back in the fight sooner. And so that's what part of this is about, is how do we start to heal ourselves so we can get back in this fight, get on God's plan, and be the leaders that we're supposed to be. And how do we get there and be exactly who you got to think and grow rich? You got to think and grow rich. It's about the discipline to be successful and complete the work needed to get there. And you can't do it without that discipline. But you have to retrain, form new habits, new rituals and routines. And the way that you do that is first by hearing God's voice. And I'm going to ask everybody who's listening to do this with me. It's an activity that I love to do, and I want everyone to do it before we start to move towards closing and hear this. As I want you to hear God's voice. Hear God's voice and say, I love myself. Repeat it. I love myself. Repeat it. Now I want you to repeat it without any words coming out of your mouth. And say, I love myself to the top of your lungs, but no words coming out of your mouth. Ready? I'm going to say it, but you're going to say it internally. I love myself. Did you hear that voice speaking to you? That was God's voice for you to hear it. Because as your thoughts, emotions, and perceptions heal, your new actions will bring new attractions. The way you think is how you act. The way you act is what you attract. And that's how you start to become healed and move into your superpowers and apply your superpowers to help others. And see, you got to be bold by choice. And I'm going to let you walk away with the gutter method. Now, as you move into the gutter method, I always close out. You got to understand this gutter framework. And I'm going to give it to you quickly. And we can dive in with any of the special offerings that you will be offered at the later time at the end of this. But you got to understand the gutter framework. Gee, you got to grieve your past. Grieve it. It's okay. You got to understand the wound. Once you understand it, then you got to tell the truth about it. Don't need to lie about it anymore. Once you start to tell the truth about it, turn that pain into your purpose. And as you turn that pain into your purpose, you got to equip yourself with the tools necessary, whether it's therapy, whatever type of healing you might need, equip yourself with the necessary tools, and then rise. The R is rise. Rise to be the kings and queens that you are. Be the kings and queens that you are, because when you persevere, you have something that everyone does not. You have the ability to finish. When you have the ability to finish and complete tasks, even if it's hard, you have to take the road that's less traveled and move from your gutter to your greatness by listening to that good me and turning that hood me voice down. I want to thank everybody for listening here today. I want to thank you. I want to guide you to the special offerings and to my works. It all is there to support and help change communities from the gutter to greatness, the good me and the hood me. And yes, I'm offering some VIP packages, some coaching, do executive coaching, and also offering to come share any ability, even through coursework, to make sure that everyone gets what they need from and moves from their gutter to their greatness.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit connectedleadersacademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.